We're back, baby.
Better than ever. I have some burpee juice.
Better than before. I don't have some burpee juice. I have a Robinson's Fruit Creations.
Oh, what fruit creation have you got?
Raspberry and something, maybe peach.
Ooh, very nice.
Oh, doesn't that make you think of Marvelous Creations, the chocolate bar?
Did you like those?
Oh, it's the best.
It's the
one with the popping
it?
Candy in. It is the tits.
Biggest of tits.
No, it's
don't love
greatest.
That. Don't love it.
I do.
Good. Good for you. How's
good
life?
It's all right. I'm feeling a little bit under the weather.
You sound it.
Yeah, I've got a bit of a cold. I think it's because Emmeline has had the cold. The nursery lurgy.
Yeah,
I'm
getting a sore throat as well.
Yeah, and she was in bed with me the other night, and I saw her sit up and then just sneeze all over my pillow and then go back to sleep.
Perfect.
So, I've slept on snot, you know. Nice. But we're good. We move on. How are you?
Yeah, okay. Just working harder than usual. My God. Long day today. I'm feeling it. And also, having got back from Riga, because I didn't sleep very well in Riga.
Riga! No, your sister said
Riga.
The same.
Riga! Yeah. I'm sure it has absolutely nothing to do with the amount of alcohol we drank there. It can't be.
No, never does.
Surely.
No. Were you snussing? That. Snussing? Snoozing?
Oh, snussing? Yeah. Rachel was getting involved, so
of
they only lasted for a day or so. And then I had to do the last day nicotine free.
You're a bad, I can't think of the word. Bad influence on my wife.
Yeah, I suppose so, but
to be
I
fair,
didn't
though,
force
if I was
her,
there,
she asked.
She would have been smoking fags.
Yeah,
not
exactly.
Gays, cigarettes.
Yes, for the American listeners out there.
The I'm not smoking the gays.
No, don't
smoke
the gays.
That's only on weekends.
Oh, what's been going on in the world?
A lot has been going on.
I do have a story for you.
Okay.
So Lucas and I woke up early this morning to go to the gym.
Wow.
So we woke up at 5:30 to be out the door at 6, because the gym opens at 6:30. And we're driving along, it's about 6:20, we're maybe a couple of minutes away from the gym. And coming out of Lincoln, there's like an old horse racing course. The bandstand thing is still up for it.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But not bandstand, what's it called? The seating area is still up for it, but that's
like
all...
a stand.
Yeah, that's all
I wonder why it's called a stand where you sit. Sorry.
Very good question, actually. I couldn't tell you.
Thank you.
That's a really good question.
That's one for the books.
One to think about.
Yeah.
Anyway, the rest of it is just sort of trees lining an area. Nothing much there. And we were driving past and we just saw this man on the ground, this body on the ground.
Okay.
So then we were like, fuck. Well, we've got to go back and make sure he's okay. Because it's cold this morning as well.
Frosty.
So we get to the roundabout, hang a Yui, come back, park up. And he's just like staggering to his feet because Lucas was like, I can't be asked to deal with a dead body today. He's still alive, staggered to his feet. Basically, he was fucked, like drunk. Like you could smell the alcohol from his stank, but he only had a thin jumper on. So he was freezing.
Shivers.
So big shivers. So that old, do you need, where do you live? And he was, oh, take me to Watton or close to Watton.
You let him get in the car, did you?
I looked, no, at this point we hadn't, and I looked it on the map and I was like, mate, that's in Thetford.
So Watton's near me.
Yeah, I was like, that's 70 miles away.
Yeah,
like,
no, mate.
You know you're in Lincoln, right? He's like, yeah. So we're like, okay. And then at that point we're like, get in the car and warm up. So he got in the back, we turned the heat on, and then we were trying to figure out where to go. And he's like, it's fine, just drop me somewhere. I was like, we can't really leave you.
Train
when
station.
You're in this state. Yeah, so I was thinking that, and then I was just about to look up trains. And then I was like, why don't we go to McDonald's, get some food? So I bought him some food, because he'd lost his wallet and his key and his phone, everything.
Yeah.
He didn't have anything on him. We were trying to call people that he knew, but he obviously wasn't getting the numbers right. We called this bloke, and he was like, hello? And he was like, yeah, it's Jason. He's like, I don't know you, you've got the wrong number. And this is drunk
sounds
bloke
like a
Jason.
Night.
Yeah, he tried to carry on the conversation. We're like, no, thank you, no, bye. So when I was in McDonald's getting him some food,
what did
Lucas,
you get?
I got him a double sausage and egg McMuffin meal.
Nice.
But I got him some water to go with
okay.
it. So
orange
like,
juice
some water. Yeah, I did think that, but I was like, he probably needs water more than he needs orange juice right now.
Fair enough. I would have got a Coca-Cola.
And then he dove straight into that water when I got back to the car. Anyway, Lucas played a blinder. He was like, what do you remember last?
Yeah.
And he said, checking into the hotel. I'm like, okay.
Massive.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which hotel? Holiday Inn Express. Perfect. It was the hotel behind McDonald's.
Oh, what a win.
So it was literally a minute to get into the car park. Got into the car park. Took him into the reception. The receptionist was like, are you okay? Because you could smell the alcohol coming off him. It was fucked.
Proper night.
It was covered in dirt as well. Because obviously just... Anyway, we gave the name. She couldn't find the reservation. Anyway, turns out he was there. His mates were there. He was there for work. So he checked in the night before. He's a solar panel fitter.
Yeah.
And then... She was like, he's not going to be popular in the morning. Because this was, maybe half past six at this point?
Yeah.
People were kind of milling about in the reception area. People that had obviously come here for work were getting up to go to work because you would be at that time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Anyway, made sure he got back in his room. But he'd said he was going off to meet someone. So we don't know whether he'd gone for a night out with all of his workmates.
He pulled on
Tinder. Got drunk, maybe pulled or thought he pulled.
Yeah.
And then... was trying to find it and got lost, or he was just trying to find the hotel and just took the wrong turning, just ended up in the middle of nowhere.
Well, absolute hero, mate.
At least we came exactly like what absolute a hero. Night for him. The admin he's gonna have to sort out now.
He'll be all right. His wallet and stuff might have been in the hotel room.
I mean, it might have been. It didn't look like he'd gone back to the hotel room first.
You never
didn't
know,
have
though.
His key on him or anything. It's
the last thing he remembered.
True.
You gotta have some hope.
Yeah.
Have you got any Larry getting drunk stories like that?
Nothing like that. Because Lucas was like, oh, we've all done it. I was like, I don't think we have. But then I said, I think femmes have to be a bit more careful.
Yeah, I think the worst I was is I had a stag do in Liverpool.
Yeah.
It wasn't my stag do in Liverpool. This was another one. This was another one. And I was that pissed. I got locked out of the hotel. I was on my own. They let me in the hotel, but I couldn't remember what room we were. No, you needed a card to get... So we had to go onto this balcony, walk across this roof, and you get to the door and you got to scan that and that'll let you into the corridor. I didn't have a card. So I was like, right, I'm stuck out here, I'm going to have a wee. So I went to have a wee in one of the plant pots. And I think I've been weeing for about 10 seconds and I looked down and I just forgot to flop my knob out and I was just stood there pissing my pants. I think that is the highlight of my life. And the worst thing is that was the only pair of trousers I took for the whole weekend. So I had to wash them in the sink. Yeah, I had to wash them in the sink and then rewear them.
Chris.
I was
the fact that you remember that though, because like imagine all the stories that we don't remember from when we're pissed.
Oh, it was great. Well, it wasn't great. It was a bit of a wet mistake, but it was fun.
Oh, I was saying to Lucas, I was like, what's the chances that this bloke even remembers this interaction? Because he'd sobered up a fair bit by the end. Yeah. But all the way through, he was just absolutely drunk. He seemed like a nice enough bloke, to be fair.
Yeah, well, you've done a good deed.
We did. We didn't get time to go to the gym. We had to go straight back after that. But yeah,
that's better than the gym.
What, looking after a drunk person? He kept thinking my phone was his phone. No, exactly. I was like, can you check to see where your phone is? And he was like, it's in front of you. I was like, no, that's my phone. where's your phone? He's like, I've got money, you know. I don't want to be a beg when I got him some breakfast. He didn't eat it either. And I was like, 100% he's just gonna go collapse on his bed. He's not gonna eat this food that I've just bought him. £6.09 spent on nothing.
That's unfortunate. But you did a good deed. Proud of you.
That's my good deed.
Yeah. Well,
and Lucas was like, would you have, because Lucas was worried he was gonna have to scrap the bloke when we first walked up to him when he got up.
Yeah.
And he was like, would you have stopped if you were on your own? I said, no chance.
So not a chance. The police. Nah.
No, if I was on my own, no, I'd have called the police or ambulance or something.
Let him sleep. Yeah. It could have just been the start of Shaun of the Dead or something. No, you could have got mauled.
Yeah, exactly. It could have been.
I'd love a zombie outbreak.
One.
Patient what? One. It'd be great.
Why?
To know it'd just be cool, wouldn't it? But then all your family would be dead, so it's a bit of a hard one.
Have you got a plan for what you'd do in a zombie apocalypse?
I've had many plans over the years, but it's had to adapt as I've moved locations.
Yeah, yeah, it has to.
Like when we're in Kettering.
It's one of the first things you do.
Yeah, because when we're in Kettering, there was a pool club. Is that what you'd call it? You go play snooker and that. A snooker bar. Yeah. And that was upstairs. And we thought, if we got up there, there's a gun shop in Kettering somewhere, like a hunting shop. I might be making that up. I'm pretty sure there was. We go and raid that, get some guns. Then you go to the pool place, flip one of the snooker tables up against the door, and you're just sitting there.
Is there food?
There's lots of food, lots of drinks, pool, snooker, so you can play the days away. Entertainment. And then once it's calmed down, so when you run out of food, 3 or 4 weeks in, everyone's dead. Do you know what I mean? The carnage has settled down.
Yes, yeah, 100%.
And then you go on your merry way, get on a boat, and just live on a boat for the rest of your life. Fishing.
Oh, my God. Yeah, go find a cruise ship or something and just commandeer it.
Yeah, sorted. They can't swim.
No,
if they
can't
swim, you're fucked. But...
Well, yeah, it's either that or what else do you do? Get on a train and keep the train moving.
Yeah, but
like Snowpiercer.
Power's out, mate.
Yeah, you're right.
What are you doing?
Oh, God.
Feel like as a girl, you and your mates probably haven't sat around and discussed what you're doing in a zombie outbreak. That might be really sexist. I don't care. But I don't think that's a discussion that comes up very often with a woman.
No, you're right. Because I just thought about it and I was like, I can't think of one. I haven't spoken about it since like secondary school.
There you
go. You talk about it then. And then one of my mates used to live near like a hunting shop.
Yeah.
And they're like, we'll just go there and live in the flat above it. And so that's such a good shout.
That is a good shout. Fair enough.
I don't know. Yeah.
Anyway, we've waffled for a little minute. Shall we tell them what the riddle was?
Oh my God, there's a vampire on Pornhub. Was it OnlyFans? I can't remember.
One of them. Might be. We need to start writing them down because we can.
We really do. of course we're talking about Vlad the Impaler, which I think is perfect for the beginning of spooky season. We are in spooky season at the moment. There's a lot of things that happen that are very spooky season.
Spooky.
It is involved and more in depth than I realised it was. And I did omit stuff by the end because I was like, nobody actually cares about this.
I care.
But I don't know if I did that in the beginning. So bear with me.
As long as you didn't miss out the best bits, I feel like we're good.
Mate, the best bits are in there. They're very, very good. It's a much more complex and involved story than I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be a bit like the YouTube one where I was really scrabbling around trying to find information. Yeah, yeah. There's a wealth of information on Vlad the Impaler.
It was a lot.
Incredible. So this is Vlad the Impaler, Vlad Tepes in Romanian. Also, side note, I once again did not look up how to say any of these words.
I'll correct you because I know Romanian quite well.
Why?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't. It's a lie. I'm lying.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Edit that out, Chris. I will.
Yes. Edit. Edit. Well, nothing. Okay. So we are talking today about Vlad the Impaler. So 1897, Bram Stoker publishes Dracula. So we all know about Dracula. This is not. No, we're not talking about Vlad yet. We're talking about Dracula.
I thought, fucking hell, that's not too far ago. When was this man?
So this man was in the 1400s, born in 1430.
Okay. Anyway, sorry to interrupt.
So Bram Stoker publishes Dracula. It is a tale of a vampire from Transylvania who terrifies the population. A story of a monster obsessed by a woman and goes to great lengths to possess her. The true story was the inspiration for one of the most famous characters in literature. Is far more gruesome. I didn't say that right, but don't look into the semantics. Steeped in horrific acts of violence that echo even today. Who was Vlad the Impaler and what did he do to create such a fearsome legend? I wrote that.
Blah, blah, blah. Very good. You're getting... I love these little sneaky intros.
As I'm going through, because I'm doing a lot less copy and pasting and a lot more writing it myself.
Yeah, look at us, and making an effort.
I am, and I'm rewriting it to make it more interesting because so Wikipedia actually goes into a lot more depth than some of the other more interesting articles I've read. So I've kind of got a storyline and then made a bit of a prose around it.
I like it. A prose.
You're welcome.
Is that what it's called? A prose.
Like a narrative.
It's really good. I'm impressed by your effort.
Thank you. So man who would become Vlad the Impaler was born in 1431 in Segesvar, Transylvania.
Perfect.
The second son of a nobleman, Vlad II Dracul.
That's a cool name, isn't it?
Yeah. So
Vlad Dracul.
So there's a reason he's called Dracul, and I'll get to it in the next sentence or sentence after that. So at the time, Transylvania was a part of the Kingdom of Hungary.
Yeah.
It's now part of Romania. It's modern day Romania. Ah. So Vlad's father, Vlad II, became a member of the Order of the Dragon.
Whoa.
So thus earning him the name Dracul.
That's pretty. Is Dracul Hungarian for dragon and Romanian?
Which means that also it means dragon in Romanian, but also devil. So it's both. So the Order of the Dragon, I've got the Latin for you. Societas Draconistarum. Draconistarum.
Excellent.
Societas Draconistarum. Literally, nailed the Society it. Of the Dragonists.
That sounds badass, doesn't it?
So it was a chivalric order, which was, it's similar to the Knights Templar, the military orders of the Crusades. So it's kind of based off of that. It's selected for higher aristocracy, and it's founded in 1408, so a similar sort of time to when Vlad II is joining it, by Sigismund of Luxembourg, who would then go on to become the Holy Roman Emperor. And wow. I know a little bit about Sigismund, not that I'm going to put it in here, but I've heard of him because Lucas plays Kingdom Come Deliverance.
Never played it.
It's
probably should.
Really good to watch. I don't play video games, but I like watching it. So, as I said before, it was fashioned after the Crusades, the military order of the Crusades, and it requires its initiates to defend the cross and to fight the enemies of Christianity, particularly the Ottoman Empire. So we're going to be talking a lot about the Ottoman Empire in this.
I was going to say, what is that?
I will tell you in depth in one of the following paragraphs. So just to give you a bit of context in the time that Vlad III, so Vlad the Impaler is Vlad III. I'll refer to him as Vlad III until, spoiler alert, his dad dies. And then I'll just refer to him as Vlad.
Okay.
There's a lot of very similar names in this. So if you do get confused, tell me, but just try and stick with me here, because it does get complicated.
And Dad.
Okay, yes. Yes. Well done. Good.
Brad the Impaler.
Brad the Impaler. Well, his brother's Radu. So, very close. Okay. Mm. Quick burpy juice break.
Don't burp, though. Don't burp.
If I do, I'll do it into the microphone.
It's so fizzy, those cans of Coke Zero.
Honestly, ever since you started calling it burpy juice, I was like, I do burp and incessantly.
It's mad, isn't it? It's a bit like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory when they drink that bubble water and you just burp and float.
Quick.
Without the float.
Yes, without the floating, although I feel like my stomach's floating.
Yeah, you need to let it out.
Quick side note. What is your preferred vestibule for drinking Coke? So what? Are we saying, so you get tinnies.
Yeah.
You get like dispensers, like McDonald's.
Yeah.
Or you get the glass. Or obviously you can decant it from a big bottle. Or you can or a plastic bottle. There you go. Yeah.
So if I'm at home out of a can, really cold.
But it's burpiest in this.
It is very burpy. If I'm out in a pub on the tap, I don't think you can get a better Coke than that.
I completely agree with you, apart from I do love the sophistication that you feel when you drink out of those little glass bottles.
Oh, they're really good, actually. They're up there. That's maybe top two.
But I think that's just because you're drinking from a glass bottle rather than the taste.
You feel like a real man when you're drinking out.
Yeah.
All woman.
But I have always said that dispensed like sodas, carbonated drinks from a pub are the best.
Oh, so
McDonald's.
It's all the sugars and syrup, isn't it? Yeah, McDonald's, Coke, shit.
Yes. Yeah, because you get all the taste from... Sorry, I keep knocking the desk, so it does look like there's an earthquake going on. You get all the taste from all the other syrups that have gone before it.
It's the greatest.
It is. I completely agree. That was a lovely little vignette. So, Vlad was raised in a world of violent instability in a zone of Christian Europe under continual threat from the Ottoman invasion, especially in the aftermath of the fall of Constantinople in 1453. But we do go into that at the time. This is 1431 when Vlad is born. Honestly, you moving around, I can hear all of it.
What, even just me moving my headphones?
Yeah, I could hear all of that.
Oh.
And then when you turned the mic earlier to cough or sniff or whatever.
Do you want me to cough or do you want me to turn my microphone off?
I mean, do whatever you want, just so that the audience knows all this rustling around, that's your fault.
He says the one making causing earthquakes, look.
Yeah, but you can't hear that, can you? Can you hear that?
Stop it. No, so loud.
I don't think so.
You're right.
So his father had seized power for himself after invading. I haven't looked up how to say this, but I'm going to go Wallachia.
Wallachia.
Wallachia. I want to say Wallachia because that's how I had it in my head, but it could be Wallachia.
Wallachia. If it's a W, would it be a V?
I don't know because it's in... Oh, God.
Wallachia.
It could be. I don't know. In 1436, so 5 years after Vlad the Impaler is born, his dad seizes power in Wallachia and he sets himself up as a voivode. Yep. I'm going to call it a voivode from now on. Like it's got an E in the end, I don't care. So that is an official position of power in the Kingdom of Hungary. It's a bit like a duke or warlord. They call themselves princes.
Warlord's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I put that in myself.
Let's go with warlord.
Warlord. So after a meeting with John Hunyadi, but I always read it as Hyundai,
who was the
voivode of Transylvania, Vlad II Dracul, the dad, he didn't support an Ottoman invasion of Transylvania in 1442. So you'll get this a lot. Lots of people to remember. Hunyadi is important to remember. And all the time, there are people, noblemen, either supporting or not supporting the Ottomans, depending on whether it benefits them or not.
Okay.
So at this time, Vlad is loyal to the Dragon Order, and he doesn't want the Ottomans anywhere near him. So the Voivode of Transylvania is the most powerful official position in the Kingdom of Hungary, beside that of the king. So this Hunyadi is a really important figure. So the Ottoman Sultan Murad II orders Dracul to go to Gallipoli to demonstrate his loyalty. So this was customary at the time for a vassal state. So a state, they have to pay money every year to the Ottomans to basically not invade them. It's like a racketeering
gig. Ottomans.
Yeah, exactly. The Ottomans are very much the bad guys in this. It's a ransom of sort that you have to pay. So Vlad Radu, and who's Vlad's younger brother, and the father, Vlad II, go to the Ottoman Empire, which proves to be a mistake.
That doesn't sound like a good idea.
It's not a good mistake. It's not a good idea. Immediately, they're all imprisoned.
Yep.
And they were held in the fortress of Egrials.
Egrials.
I don't know. It's in the Ottoman Empire. Who knows? However, Vlad's father, Vlad Dracul, was then released before the end of the year, leaving Vlad and Radu to remain as hostages to secure his loyalty.
Oh, so, shit.
At just 11 years old, the young Vlad is now a hostage in the Ottoman Empire.
Damn.
So the Ottoman Empire is one of the largest in history. It exists for over 600 years, and at its peak included what is now Bulgaria, Egypt, Greece, Hungary, Jordan, Lebanon, Israel, Palestine, Macedonia, Christ. Romania, Syria, and parts of Arabia and the north coast of Africa.
Big old empire, mate.
Huge.
That's super large.
That's actually quite big.
That's actually quite big.
That's actually quite large. So throughout history, the exchange of prisoners is a time-honored tradition. It ensures the cooperation of a possibly hostile enemy by holding someone that they value prisoner. The opportunity can also be seized to educate the person in the ways of the enemy and perhaps create a powerful ally amongst the opposing side.
Okay.
This is something they did in ancient history as well. So they would take your kids and but these are your heirs. You don't want them to be killed.
Back.
Yeah, exactly. You're going to want them back eventually. So do what we say. We won't hurt them. But also they would... they would teach them, they would possibly give them positions of military power as
still
well.
Still a half-decent life.
Power. It is a very decent life. So for a while they were held without incident. The Ottomans' treatment of noble hostages depended on the situation, but often it involved keeping them in the court for control, educating them to become leaders, or even using them as a tool for political manoeuvring. So they weren't given harsh punishments. They were often sent to military school, where they could gain be trained as future leaders. They could also get a really high status career within the Ottoman Empire.
Bloody hell.
And the chance to rule their own territory under Ottoman control. So they were trying to make it. Yeah, honestly, it doesn't sound that bad at all. Under the Ottomans, Vlad and his younger brother Radu were tutored in science, philosophy, and the arts. And Vlad became a skilled horseman and warrior, which we'll see more of.
Vlad is going to be bad.
So,
in a cool way.
They were treated well, but the captivity still was not great for Vlad. He didn't enjoy it, and he held a lot of resentment towards the Ottomans for being kept away from his home. And
he didn't accept the hospitalities.
No, he didn't. He always viewed them as being his captors. So even despite the fact that both of his sons, he still got an eldest son with him, Vlad II, Vlad Dracul.
Okay, still one more.
There's one more that he has with him. Even though his two younger sons are held captive, he still sides with King Vladislaus of Poland and Hungary in 1444 in the Crusade of Varna against the Ottoman Empire. But he was happy to let his son's life be forfeit for the crusade of Christianity, to protect Christianity.
If you're little Vlad, I think you'd be more pissed off at that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you would be. But especially by modern standards, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
But luckily for our story, he was wrong. They were not sacrificed for his cause. In 1447, Vlad Dracula, the dad, agreed to pay an annual tribute to the Ottoman Sultan. And then he was like, okay, you can have your sons back.
Dad Vlad pulled one out in the end.
Yes. But their reunion was short-lived, however. Because later that year, Hunyadi, you know, the voivod of Transylvania... Yeah, yeah. He was now regent governor of Hungary, and he invaded Wallachia. So Vlad and Radu managed to flee back to the Ottomans, who held him prisoner. But the dad and the eldest son, Mercia, they were murdered.
Fair enough. That's what you get.
Yeah.
Leave your kids and you stand up to us. You're getting your neck slit, bruv.
Too right. So,
I want to slit your neck.
27 minutes in, we've already got there.
I'm surprised it took that long.
Hunyadi then made Vlad Dracul's cousin, so I'm guessing that would be like Vlad the Third's first cousin once removed, Vladislav the Second, ruler of Wallachia. So it's Vladislav. Vladislav II, the ruler of Wallachia instead. I'm just going to keep saying it differently every time I say it.
That's fine.
So another person to remember is Vladislav II.
Vlad the Vlad.
He will come back.
Vlad squared.
Vlad II. Thus begins Vlad the Third, Vlad the Impaler's villain arc.
Here he comes. So we're just down to Vlad now.
Just Vlad.
Nice, just Vlad.
So, the new ruler of Wallachia and Vlad's dad's murderer, Vladislav. Oh my god, that's hard to say. Vlad's dad's murderer, Vladislav.
Nice. And again?
Vlad's dad's murderer, Vladislav.
You've nailed it.
Nailed it. Together with Hyundai, launched a campaign against the Ottoman Empire in 1448. So, this is one year later.
Hyundai.
Oh, sorry, Hyundai. I found it so patronising, that advert.
It's Hyundai, actually.
Because then you watch American adverts, it's still Hyundai, but then apparently for the UK, it's like, oh, no, you're saying it wrong. No, it's Hyundai.
It's a bit like a chicken Kiev, isn't it?
It's political correctness gone mad.
Pussy old.
So Vlad saw an opportunity. He was still amongst the Ottomans, and he was like, I'm going to get my territory back.
Oh, shit.
So he led the Ottoman army to Wallachia in early October, seizing the opportunity whilst his opponents were away to take back his birthright.
Big Bad Vlad.
Big Bad Vlad's back. Together, they captured important fortresses in Gyergu and Danube.
We know Danube.
Strengthening their hold, and it seemed as though Wallachia may be in Vlad's grasp.
Yes.
And his father's death would be avenged.
Wallachia.
Is that...
Because it's Vlad's now.
Oh, yeah. Wallachia. The Ottomans defeated Hunyadi's army at the Battle of Kosovo between the 17th and 18th of October. Literally not far away from today.
What?
Today's the 15th of October.
Oh, it's so close.
Yeah, that's pretty good, to be fair.
It's only 800 years ago or whatever it was.
500 and a bit.
It's today, though, isn't it?
Yeah. So, Vlad, at this time, had positioned himself in Wallachia. He had taken the seat of power again.
Is he the new... Huchamu. What was it? What's the warlord word again?
Voivod.
Is he the new Voivod?
He's the new Voivod. So he's now managed to take Wallachia. So sensing that defeat was near, Hyundai then sends his deputy to try and meet with Vlad. And he wants to negotiate with him, perhaps to defect from the Ottoman army. But Vlad is sure of his impending success. So he refuses.
Yep.
And according to a letter he wrote on the matter, he was worried that should the Ottomans catch him meeting with the enemy, he'd be guilty by association. So he doesn't want to piss the Ottomans off at this point, and he's pretty sure he's going to be able to keep his seat of power. But this turned out to be a costly mistake, because whilst the Ottomans were busy fighting the insurrectional force of Hyundai and Vladislav II, Vladislav II then returns to Wallachia with the remnants of his army and successfully forces Vlad out. So Vlad then runs away again to the Ottoman Empire.
Oh.
Yeah, by the 7th of December, 1448. I say he's a weasel, but he was born in 1431. Yeah. So he's only 17.
Okay, he's pretty young. Cool, isn't he? Yeah.
Yeah.
That teenage spirit.
This then comes... somewhat confusing series of events for Vlad. So if I lose you, we'll just skip it. But so he begins smile and wave, boys. So he begins his exile in Erdin, which is in modern day Turkey, still with the Ottoman Empire. He then moves to Moldavia, where Vlad's uncle has mounted the throne with Hyundai's help in 1441. What's so it's Vlad's uncle, Bogdan.
For real?
Bogdan.
Like you just snatched that out of the air and I liked it.
No, Bogdan. Worked. Yeah. But 2 years later, his uncle Bogdan was murdered by Peter III in 1451.
Where's Peter come from?
I don't know. It was like he had a weird something after Peter, and then I was like, I don't know, because it was Polish. Peter III.
Like Pietra or something.
Piotr, maybe. Piotr. I don't know.
Who was it? Peter III?
Peter III. He had something afterwards. Probably Piotr.
Piotr. He was from Russia.
Oh, are you sure?
He was the 7th emperor of Russia.
No, it's not the same bloke. Because, this guy is the king of Moldavia.
1762. Peter III, king
Moldavia.
Moldavia. How am I spelling Moldavia?
Take that second O, make it an A. And then add an I before
also
the last
known as
A.
Petru the Third was hospodor and voivode of Moldavia. That was pretty much it. So,
yeah. That's all we got. So this forces Vlad and his cousin Stephen, which is his late uncle Bogdan's son.
Yeah.
They flee from Transylvania and they seek assistance from Hunyadi. So Vlad's gone from trying to kill Hunyadi, and Hunyadi's killed his dad, to them being, and then gone back to the Ottomans, to then be like, oh no, can I get some help from you now, Hyundai?
He's gone back to Hyundai.
He's now gone to Hyundai. Hyundai. And then Hyundai was like, can you call me Hyundai, not Hyundai, you fascist pigs. Fascism. Unfortunately for them, however, Hyundai had just signed a 3-year peace treaty with the Ottoman Empire, and that meant he could no longer meddle in the succession of Wallachia, and he had to leave the right to elect their next ruler to the boyars, and the boyars are like the lords. To the boys!
The boyars!
So the boyars are like the lords.
Yeah.
And then the voivods are like the dukes.
Right. Sounds like a football match about to go wrong.
The boyars and the voivods.
The boys versus the voivods. Is Moldova? Moldova?
Yeah, I think so.
It's got to be, isn't it?
Yeah. Almost invariably. So a boyar was the highest rank of feudal nobility in the Eastern European states, so like a lord, yeah, or something like that, right?
Lord boyar.
So this treaty that Hyundai had signed with the Ottoman Empire specifically said he can't decide who's going to be the next. Right. That the Wallachians have to decide for themselves. I think in an effort to, because he's placed people in that are against the Ottoman Empire before, so the Ottomans are like, let's let everyone else decide because they know that the vast majority of them are going to want to secure peace, so they're going to want someone that's on the Ottoman side.
Yep.
So at this point, Vlad's effectively left stateless. And after this, it's really, really confusing. He goes all around the place, so I just left it out. And
he's a bit
also,
of an oofnage, you know.
He's just a nomad. He just kind of goes
home,
around.
Does he?
No, he doesn't.
Yeah. It's like our Uhtred of Bebamba.
He literally is. I think they would have done.
Yeah, or slaughtered.
Yeah, probably that. So not a lot is known about these next 5 years until 1456, 5 years later, he then tries his hand at reclaiming Wallachia.
Yeah, he's going
so
for it.
He's now 25 years old and he's
street smart
sides.
Now.
He is a bit more. He's got a bit more now, so he knows what's going on. So he's cut ties with the Ottoman governors of the Danube cities and he obtains military support from King Ladislaus V of Hungary, who disliked Vladislav II. Meanwhile, Vladislav II then saw aid from the Ottoman ruler Mehmed II.
It's confusing, this, mate. So many of the same name and they're all little turncoat bitches. I don't know who's
yes.
who anymore.
Vladislav II is
he's
the one.
He's gone to the Ottomans now.
Yes, he's gone to the Ottomans now.
Fucking hell. Right,
it's
okay.
Difficult.
It's like and watching Vlad, Towie or something, mate.
It is. So Vlad's no longer with the Ottomans.
Yeah.
Vladislav is.
Vladislav is, and Vlad is now, is he still with, a nomad? Nomad Vlad.
He's allied himself with the King of Hungary, who doesn't like Vladislav.
One of the boyars.
No, he's a king.
He's a king.
He's fuck not one him. Of the boyars.
No, yeah, he's in with the king. That's a good move.
It's a good move yeah, from yeah. Vlad. And Vladislav is like, shit, any side that Vlad is on, I don't want to be on that side.
Yeah.
Oh, I burped, but I didn't do it in the microphone. That was a reflex. That was literally
still,
a reflex.
It was just a little... I still heard it. It was tiny. It was a tiny little bit. But I'll boost the
gonna,
I'll boost the audio for that. Come on, neck it.
Okay. So Vlad's political and military tack really come to the forefront. So at the time, the Ottomans had led this massive invasion into Hungary and the Holy Roman Empire. And Constantinople, which was the seat of the Holy Roman Empire, falls to the Ottomans in 1453. So this is kind of what we spoke about before.
Yeah.
But they're all over Europe trying to get a foothold and trying to sort out this pesky Kingdom of Hungary.
Bloody Ottomans.
And the Holy Roman Empire.
They're like Jehos, by the sounds of it.
I'm a boy.
I'm going to bite your neck, Jeho.
Jeho, I want to suck your blood.
Jeho, I want to drink it all.
I'll go pale your butt, Jeho.
I want to suck your bum blood. I'm going to impale your hoop, Jeho. Bloody hell.
Moving on. Okay. So in 1456, so this is when Vlad has decided that he's going to get Wallachia back.
He's going back for it again.
So this is when the fall of Constantinople was 3 years before.
But when he's
25 and he's going back to Wallachia, that's 3 years after the fall of Constantinople. Right. So the Ottomans and Hyundai's forces are locked in battle. So Vlad leads a small force of Hungarians, and Romanian mercenaries, which he got from the King of Hungary, to battle his old enemy, Vladislav II, at Targovitsa.
Everton defender. I feel like they need to just have a fight in the middle of a ring or something. These two twats.
Mate. So according to contemporary sources, he had the satisfaction of killing his mortal enemy and his father's assassin in hand-to-hand combat.
Yes.
So he does it.
Nice. I'm happy about that. I'm glad it's ended in a 1v1.
And he fucking us takes back Wallachia.
Does he cut off his head?
I don't know.
Does he drink a goblet of his blood?
Let's just say that he does.
I would like to. Yeah, 100%.
Let's just believe it. Let's speak it into existence.
I believe
in a thing called love. Just let me drink your head off.
that was bad synchronization there.
So Vlad's already solidified his position as being anti-Ottoman, and he is proclaimed the voivod of Wallachia in 1456, finally reclaiming his birthright and avenging his father. One of his first orders of business in his new role was to stop paying the annual tribute to the Ottoman Sultan, and which had previously been a measure to secure peace between the Wallachians and the Ottomans. So he just stops doing that.
Business.
He promises to protect the Wallachian nobility in the eventuality of an Ottoman invasion. And he says to them, when a man or a prince is strong and powerful, he can make peace as he wants to. But when he is weak, a stronger man will come in and do what he wants to him.
Say it in the voice.
When a man or a prince is strong and powerful, he can make peace as he wants to. But when he is weak, a stronger man will come and do what he wants to him.
Excellent. I really like
that. Is that good? Wow,
powerful. That was my favourite.
And powerful. He's powerful.
You sound like Gru. You look like Gru. I can't remember.
Oh, fuck off. Fucking shoulders, prick. That basically sets out his authoritarian ruling style. Fuck you.
Sorry, mate.
But his rule of terror and legend of cruelty thus begins. And he murders thousands of people in order to solidify his seat of power. Stories from the time. Murder. There's been a murder.
Why does it always lead to killing everyone?
Oh, he does more than that. So stories from the time immediately following Vlad's imprisonment in Hungary describe his cruelty in torturing the opposition, including cooking people alive, skinning them, and cutting off their limbs and genitals.
But cock is off. Can you cut a fanny off?
What, female genital mutilation they do in Africa?
How? Just like snip the lip. I don't understand what...
Flap's gone.
My flaps are gone. I'm
flapping
ready
away.
Flapping away downtown. Or would you just sew it up?
Yeah, I guess. Do you not want to get on to why he's called Vlad the Impaler? Yeah. Okay, good. Yeah. So Vlad's favourite method... Vlad the Flap Remover.
I will remove your flaps.
I want to remove your flaps.
Sorry, right, you carry on.
Thank you,
but
dude.
Flapping like a bat.
Fuck it out. We're only on page 3 of 9, mate. Sorry. We're already 45 minutes in. This is going to be so long.
Okay. Apologies.
So Vlad's favourite method of public execution of men, women and children was impaling, which involves hoisting a victim on a tall spike. The stake then gradually tears at your insides over the span of several days before you die of your injuries. And the number of those subjected to impalement by Vlad ranges from 40,000 to 100,000.
Fucking and modern
thus
day.
Thus, he became known as Vlad Tepes. Vlad so was that Taylor.
Always up the bum hole?
Yeah, I mean, how is he going to do it?
I don't know.
Unless through it's the like no, through he'd be the dead back, quick. But you'd die pretty quickly.
Really quick, yeah.
So I imagine just, if it's over some days,
do you reckon they lube it up? Was it just like getting
no,
dry
because
fucked?
That make it too easy? Yeah, dry fucked.
Yeah. Friction.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Ooh, splinters.
Oh, splinter at the butthole. Yeah, but that is one big splinter at the butthole, I suppose, isn't it?
Yeah, and then tiny other little ones. Yeah.
Oh.
I was about to read the same thing again because I'm distracted. Contemporary authors were also quite hostile to Vlad, hence his fearsome reputation today.
So authors. There is
authors. Authors. People that write things. So there's speculation that in order to increase public resentment of Vlad or just to increase hysteria, I never say hysteria
hysteria.
Like that.
Hysteria. Just increase hysteria, you know. My name's Vlad. I'm
a lot of sources. Let me get through this paragraph, please.
Sorry, I'm feeling mischievous.
A lot of sources wildly inflated the number of those that Vlad tortured and killed. This does not, however, diminish the fact that there is truth to the story and that even if he murdered a fraction of people this way, he is set apart from contemporary rulers. On the other side, he's viewed as harsh but fair.
Harsh. So
there's lots of people writing shit about him.
Yeah, like... It's like Facebook hating it. He's coming for you.
Yeah, exactly. He's been cancelled. So
no one's cancelling Vlad.
In 1549, so he's been on the throne for 3 years, he arrested a group of merchants and ordered their impalement.
sentenced you to impalement.
He also lured a number of boys to a banquet to kill them. So there's a lot of impaling. So although one German chronicle suggests there are among 500 boyars, the place of execution could only hold about 42 and 50 impaled bodies. So even if he only did 10%, they're still kind of fucking mental.
Could you imagine the like when they're building his little castle or whatever, and they're asking him for the dimensions of his room? He's like, oh, it's like about it's about 50 impalings.
the ceilings must be quite high.
Oh, it's about
because
50.
I need to. Why has he gone German?
I don't know. I want about a fifty square impalings.
50 square impalings. There's a lot of stuff in here I meant to get rid of, so we're cutting through some of it. We don't care about that sentence. So Vlad managed to retain control of Wallachia until 1462.
Good run.
So what's that like? 6 years.
Yeah, that's long enough to roll, isn't it? You don't need to roll longer than that.
When the Ottomans launched another invasion.
Ah, those bloody Ottomans.
They're back.
Otto, so man.
Mehmed II, he's back and he invades Wallachia in 1462. And he's actually able to go all the way up to Wallachia's capital city of Targoviste. But he found it deserted. But in front of the capital, he found the bodies of the Ottoman prisoners of war that Vlad had taken, all impaled.
Shit, son.
Some contemporary records give the number as around 20,000 Ottomans.
It's a lot of impalings.
That's many. That's how are you getting like the work that goes into that? You've got to cut down trees. You've got to make them into stakes. You've got to get the people on top of them. You've got to take the prisoners in the first place and keep them somewhere whilst you're making the stakes. You're going to go put the stake in the ground. You're going to
take
a little
off?
Bit out. What?
The stake. Do you reckon they just stay there?
No, you just put them on there and then let the Ottomans find all their mates.
Yeah, but all the other ones are impaled. Do they just live on the stakes for forever?
Yeah.
There'll be so many stakes.
It's not worth
taking them off would be rough.
Let alone for a second the killing of humanity, the genocide that he's doing. the deforestation, man.
Yeah, it's shocking. Think about the fucking gorillas, man.
Think about the trees.
All that palm oil.
So he also enacted a scorched earth policy. So he spoke.
Scorched earth policy. Yeah.
Which we've spoken about before, and you burn all the fields, kill the animals, poison the water so that the Ottoman army can't resupply as it carries on. So contemporary sources describe the scene as the Ottomans came upon a forest of their compatriots impaled. And I was like, they literally are a forest at this point. And it's quite lengthy, but quite useful. So there are large stakes there on which it was said about 20,000 men, women and children had been spitted. Quite a sight for the Turks and the Sultan himself. The Sultan was seized with amazement and said that it was not possible to deprive his country of a man who had done such great things and who had such a diabolical understanding of how to govern his realm and its people. He said that a man who had done such things was worth much. The rest of the Turks were dumbfounded when they saw the multitude of men on stakes. There were infants, too, affixed to their mothers on the stakes, and birds made their nests in their entrails.
Christ alive. So was it like...
spooky mum, season.
Was it mum, steak, butthole, as it popped out of mouth, child on top?
Yeah.
And now the fact you're licking to that is fucked up. Just drop my child on my tongue.
Mate, like I said, you don't have to have sex to be molested.
For fuck's sake. You just have your asshole impaled by a tongue and then a steak.
Oh, no.
I don't like how that's turning into one of our catchphrases. That's we'll get that on a t-shirt.
Put it on the keyrings.
Yeah, put it on the keyrings and the back of a t-shirt.
But what I find even more mental is that, according to this source, the Sultan was impressed by seeing 20,000 of his people impaled and was like, we can't possibly deprive Wallachia and a kingdom of Hungary from such an incredible man.
That is a fucking good feat, though, to be fair, isn't it?
It is. It's insane.
20,000
assholes
on a wooden stake.
They've obviously withdrawn from almost the entirety of the country, have somehow taken 20,000 people prisoner, set this up, and then fucked off again.
Yeah, see ya. Do you reckon they just left them all alive, sat there?
Yeah, they'll be alive for a couple of days before they die from their impalement.
What do you reckon they do with your arms to stop you climbing off?
You must be tied. Tied onto...
lowered down like
behind,
that.
Behind the back. Maybe you'll put on it, and then it's on the ground, and then it's erected. Oh. It's rats, isn't it? It's horrendous.
Oh, imagine the rats climbing up the pole.
They probably would have done as well. You know what rats are like.
Yeah, fucking rat.
So the Ottomans continued their campaign, but apparently they were struggling with the summer heat and thirst, and they decided to leave Wallachia and head further into Hungary. Vlad had left behind a small force of 6,000 to hinder the Ottoman Empire and went to meet Stephen of Moldavia, his cousin, to fight the Turks at Boralia. So he's gone off somewhere else to meet his cousin, and he's left behind 6,000 people. But in another fucking twist of fate, this is honestly like Game of Thrones, Vlad's brother Radu, who had sided with the Ottomans against his own brother, then leads a force into Wallachia.
Damn. Come on, mental. Ruda.
So, despite the fact that Vlad had defeated Radu and the Ottomans in subsequent battles and in the following months, more and more Wallachians defected to Radu, seeing him as a replacement for Vlad and a viable successor with strong ties to the Ottoman Empire. Radu had sent the Wallachians messages reminding them that the Ottomans could invade their territory at any time. So they're like, this guy's friends with the Ottomans. That means peace.
Yeah.
So they're...
we want
they've
Radu.
Running to Radu's side. So in... yeah, this is so funny. So in battle on the 17th of June in 1462, it was known as the Night Attack at Targoviste. So this is the capital of Wallachia. Vlad III and Mehmed II's forces meet. They fight for 3 hours after sunset until about 4 a.m. in the foothills of the Carpathian Mountains. The attack was an attempt to assassinate Mehmed II, the leader of the Ottoman forces. So using only torches and flares, the Valachians couldn't locate his tent, and then the alarm was raised. So they'd gone into the camp trying to find and assassinate the emperor, because then it was the sultan, so it was going to throw all the forces into disarray. Yeah. But because it was at night, they couldn't find it, and someone saw them like, what are you doing here, mate? And they're like, nothing.
Nothing, mate. You've cost me.
Nothing. It's estimated that 5,000 of Vlad's men are lost, compared with 15,000 Ottomans.
Fucking hell, mate. He's a bit of a slayer, isn't he?
He honestly slaying left, right, and centre. So this is celebrated in Romanian literature and popular folklore. So this kind of cements him as a legend of Romania. So Vlad's victories over the Ottomans were celebrated all throughout Wallachia and Transylvania and the rest of Europe. Even Pope Pius II was impressed.
Pope's getting involved.
Not Joan, though.
Not Joan. She was too good for Vlad.
So he's, at this point, he's reported to be a harsh but just ruler. So the Romanians do like him.
What is the just about
Vlad? Don't know.
Harsh is fair.
Harsh but fair.
Don't know what's just. Don't be like that. You little wizard.
So, not long after the impalement of the Ottoman prisoners of war, in August 1462, so 2 months after he tried to kill the Sultan, Vlad was forced into exile in Hungary. Unable to defeat his much more power. Stop moving. I can hear all of it.
I'm like...
Just stop it.
ADHD. I just can't sit still.
I think it's your... It's because of your gilet. Your little waistcoat.
Am I rustling?
I can hear it rustling. Yeah, I can hear the rustling. You're still rustling. Can you not hear that?
I'm trying to stop, mate. Is it like a bin bag or something?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
Stop wearing bin bags, man.
I'll not move again.
So, Vlad's been forced out by his own people, basically. His brother had bribed local nobility by saying, we'll give you commercial privileges, and had offered them 15,000 ducats to support him. Ducats.
What is a ducat? Ducats. Is that their money?
Their currency. So when he's in exile in Hungary, he's taken prisoner, and the people that have taken him prisoner have to justify their decision to the Pope. Because obviously this is the Holy Roman Empire, so you've got the emperor, but then you've also got the Pope is really important as well. So they have to justify it, because the Pope and the Venetians had sent a lot of money to finance their campaign against the Ottoman Empire. And they're like, and you're going to lock up the one guy that's fighting against them.
Come on.
So one of the papal legates, Corvinus. Corvinus, he presented 3 letters that were originally written by Vlad on the 7th of November of 1462. And apparently Vlad had written these letters to Mehmed II, amongst others, offering to join his forces with the Sultan's army against Hungary if the Sultan restored him to his throne. But most historians believe that these were forged so that the Pope would agree to Vlad's imprisonment. Because it was basically not written his style. The Latin was really bad, and apparently he was really good at Latin. So it was all pretty obvious looking back at it. Yeah.
Forged in that.
So whilst he was in exile for a long time, I want to say like 15 years, whilst he was in, 12. Yeah, this is 62 up until 75.
Yeah.
So he managed to marry and have 2 children. So again, exile's really not that bad for him.
No, he's doing all right, really, isn't he? He's had a good life, old Vlad.
So Radu had then taken over the position of power in Wallachia after his brother's imprisonment. But after Radu's death in 1475, the local Bees, they, as well as several rulers of nearby principalities, favoured Vlad's return to power. Okay. They wanted Vlad back.
Bring back Vlad.
Bring back Vlad. In mid 1475, the nobility of Wallachia had again submitted to the Ottomans, because we know Radu was on the side of the Ottomans. And to rid themselves of the invading Ottomans, there was only one man for the job.
I wonder who. Brad.
Brad's back. Shit.
Hello, I'm Brad.
So Stephen III of Moldavia, that's the cousin.
Yeah.
He sends envoys to Vlad's captors, asking them to send Vlad to Wallachia against the ruler of Wallachia, who is Basarab. So Basarab's taken over.
Who's this man?
He's the new leader after Radu. So Radu dies, Basarab comes in, and he's already submitted to the Ottomans. So Stephen wants a ruler for Wallachia that has already been an enemy to the Ottoman Empire. And in his mind, he believed the Wallachians to be like Turks. So the Ottomans are kind of called Turks, basically because they just keep going back to the Ottomans. But like Vlad's... Yeah.
Pussyholes.
Yeah. Pussyholes.
Weasels.
Weasels. So Vlad's only released until after he converted from Eastern Orthodoxy to Catholicism. So now he's a Catholic.
Little it's change.
Going everywhere. So in 1476, he gets the support of Stephen III, and he makes one last effort to reclaim his seat as the ruler of Wallachia. So this is the third time.
Do or die, mate. Third time lucky, isn't it?
After a lot of mincing around and back and forth, he and Stephen successfully occupied Bucharest and sent Basarab packing back to the Ottomans. He successfully stole back the throne by the 26th of November in 1476 for the third time. So third time lucky.
He's in.
He's back in.
Hopefully he does more than 6 years this time.
But his triumph is short-lived.
How short are we talking?
Okay. So later that year, whilst marching to...
It's over. Can I still guess?
Yeah.
18 months.
Ooh. You are...
Dun, dun, dun.
So optimistic.
Oh,
so bearing in mind, he's declared the Voivode of Wallachia on the 26th of November. He then, whilst he's marching to yet another battle with the Ottomans, Vlad and a small vanguard of troops are ambushed and he's killed.
What? Vlad's dead.
So Basarab had returned with the Ottoman support sometime between late December 1476 and January 1477. So at most, he had a month and a half.
Fucking hell, Vlad.
So Vlad and his army of about 2,000 were ambushed by a force of 4,000 Turks, which were led by Basarab near Snagov. So literally, he was on the throne for about a month and a half. There are multiple stories about how Vlad met his end. So some say that a Turkish assassin murdered Vlad in his camp, like he was trying to do to Mehmed. Others that he was mistaken for a Turk by his own men and killed. Now, there is some truth to this, as supposedly one of his most successful tactics was to disguise himself as a Turkish soldier as part of a military ruse, because he also spoke fluent Turkish from his time in the Ottoman Empire.
Oh, no. But surely he'd be like, oi, boys, it's me.
No, it's me. No, it's guys, don't stop.
It's me, it's Vlad.
It's me, it's Vlad. I want to suck your blood.
It's Vladimir. I want to suck your dick, your blood.
I will show you. I am Vlad.
I want to penetrate your asshole with wooden stake.
Give me wooden stake. I shove it up your arse.
Is that where the stake came from, to kill Dracula?
Dracula. Oh my God, that'd be so cool if it is. But I've written a whole section about Dracula.
You can only kill Dracula by putting a stake up his asshole.
I didn't say before, but he was actually Vlad Dracula. That was what he was called.
Vlad Dracul.
No, because Vlad Dracul was his dad, but Dracula is like a diminutive to say the son of.
Oh, shit. So he was Vlad
So he actually
Dracula.
Was Dracula. Dracula, I want to suck your blood.
I want to stake your ass hoop.
Ass hoop. Ass hoop.
The old ass hoop.
Your ass hoop's getting steak. baked. So there
Who
is a
wants
story.
Steak tonight?
Me. Not that one. Yeah.
Oh, the pounding. It's a pound. Don't.
You dying.
I can't with this cough.
Are you dead? You are diseased. So there is a story that Vlad had managed to confuse an invading Ottoman force by speaking to them in Turkish, which allowed his men to catch him by surprise. So that lends some sort of truth to him being mistaken for a Turk.
Brilliant.
His body was chopped up, his head sent to Mehmed II, and it was displayed in Constantinople.
Oh, cool. It's local a bit like peasant... Braveheart.
Yeah, literally. It is like Braveheart.
They all combine these stories, look.
They do. It's history repeats.
Yeah.
So local peasant traditions maintained that what was left of Vlad's corpse was later discovered in the marshes of Snagov by the monks from the nearby monastery, although there is no truth to this.
Damn.
Yeah. Interestingly, Vlad may have been suffering from health issues just before his death.
Oh.
So in a 2023 study, researchers used mass spectrometry to study a letter Vlad had penned in 1475. The researchers found biological evidence that Vlad had respiratory tract infection and that he likely had hemolacria, a condition which makes a person cry blood-tinged tears. Shit. Yeah. So... he might have cried blood.
Bloody hell. Bloody hell.
Blood. Tears hell.
Oh, teary bad Vlad. What, all his life or just at the end there?
So...
I'd make myself cry before going into battle.
It may have resulted from simple injuries or eye infections, but it could also have been caused by systemic diseases such as anemia or nervous system issues. So there is a chance he might have always had it. There is a chance he may have developed it, but nobody actually talks about him crying blood.
Not that we know of.
Okay. So just talking about the contemporary reception of Dracula and what other people thought of him. Even as Vlad was still alive, stories were circulating at the court of the Holy Roman Emperor and beyond about his brutal tendencies. A lengthy poem called The Story of a Despot Called Dracula, Voivode of Wallachia, was performed to Frederick III, who was Holy Roman Emperor, in 1463. So this is after he's been taken prisoner.
Yeah, yeah. What's a despot?
I was going to look that up because it's basically a mental... No, not despot. It's like a mental leader. A ruler or person who holds absolute power, typically one who exercises it in a cruel or oppressive way.
Right, okay. Yeah. Hitler was a bit of a despot.
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
So it was rumoured that Vlad had once dipped his bread into the blood of his impaled victims.
Jesus.
So far, this remains legendary. It hasn't actually been confirmed. According to one story, Vlad had two monks impaled to assist them to go to heaven, and also ordered the impalement of their donkey because it began braying after its master's death.
How do you impale a donkey, bro? How is that happening?
Which way? You must be, again, it must be going from arse.
It's got the arms, though, hasn't it? It's got its front arms, and then it's slowly lowered into a donkey hole. Poor donkey, you know?
That's the real tragedy, the trees and the donkeys.
Yeah, leave the donkeys out of it.
Further stories were recorded by the legates who wanted to justify Vlad's imprisonment to the Pope. That they said that whilst he was in prison, Vlad caught rats to cut them into pieces or stick them on small pieces of wood because he was unable to forget his wickedness.
Just made tiny little rats impale.
He just couldn't stop impaling.
Stop impaling, Vlad. I can't.
I want to impale the rats. A further story recounts that Turkish messengers came to Vlad to pay respects, but they refused to take off their turbans, which was according to their ancient custom, whereupon he strengthened their custom by nailing the turbans to their head with three spikes so that they could not take them off.
Could they still breathe after that?
It depends how big the nails were, to be honest with you, but I think he probably would have left them alive.
Okay.
So, Germans also recorded likely inflated stories of his cruelty because he didn't get on with the Germans. recounting that Vlad had a big copper cauldron built and put a lid made of wood with holes in it on top. He put people in the cauldron and put their heads in the holes and fastened them there. He then filled it with water and set a fire under it and let the people cry their tears out until they were boiled to death.
Bloody hell, big boiling bad Vlad. That is a mad...
That's a mad way to go, isn't it?
Imagine being boiled to death.
Yeah, horrendous.
It would be a really weird one because you'd be quite cold and then you get warm and then you got a nice bath.
It would be nice for like how long? Maybe 10 minutes? Five minutes?
Yeah, and then you're like a bit of spaghetti and you are... flooping limp. All over the place. Yeah,
and your skin's coming off.
Yeah. Ugh.
However, it's not all bad, because Romanian folklore tells the story of a harsh but fair ruler who enacted such misdeeds to secure peace for the Wallachian people.
He was presented...
Exactly. That's harsh but fair.
See, that's the same. Hitler did that, and look at all the hate he gets.
Was it for a good cause, though?
It was a good cause for him.
Yeah, they account what he did with genocide as well.
Yeah.
So,
what are the comparisons of deaths between Hitler personally as well? How many did Hitler himself kill?
Yeah, okay, so Hitler himself probably wouldn't have killed an awful lot of people, but I mean, 6 million compared to a few hundred thousand.
Yeah, you do the maths.
So he was presented as a hero fighting against the Boyars,
the Boyars,
Ottomans, and the Strigoi. So Strigoi are vampires.
Oh.
Strigoi.
Legit.
Apparently, he fought against vampires in folklore. And other evil spirits at the head of an army of gypsies and angels. Apparently, gypsies are good to Romanians.
Those gypsies.
So one of the greatest Romanian poets, Mihai Eminescu, dedicated a historic ballad, The Third Letter, which was written in the 1870s to 80s, to the valiant princes of Wallachia, including Vlad. He urges Vlad to return from the grave and to annihilate the enemies of the Romanian nation. You must come, O the Red Impaler, confound them to your care. Split them into portions, hear the fools, the rascals there. Shove them into enclosures in broad daylight, ensile them. Then set fire to the prison and the lunatic asylum.
That's a cracking part.
Spooky!
Beautifully, mate.
Spooky season!
I like that.
Spooky!
Little bedtime rhyme.
So Bram Stoker then reads about the 15th century Prince Vlad Tepes. Vlad Tepes.
He loved those little bites.
And it said that the... historical figure's cruelty and his name and the connection to the devil in the Wallachian language are major sources of inspiration for the character's name and cruel persona. It's not an inspiration for his name, it literally is his name.
It is. His name is Dracula.
So would you like to know what he looked like?
Please, because I'm hoping he is of a certain height for one of my facts later on.
Okay. So it is mentioned. Contemporary papal legate, Niccolo Madrusa, described Vlad's appearance as such. Vlad was not very tall, but very stocky and strong, with a cold and terrible appearance, a strong and aquiline nose, swollen nostrils, and thin and reddish face, in which the very long eyelashes framed large, wide-open green eyes. The bushy black eyebrows made them appear threatening. His face and chin were shaven but for a moustache. The swollen temples increased the bulk of his head. A bull's neck connected his head, from which hung from his white-shouldered person. I concentrated
that is the worst
so.
One you've done.
I was just concentrating so much on the poem and doing it in a Romanian accent that just the rest of it, because I can see the end is in sight, and as soon as I do this,
the
I can relax.
The end is nigh, mate. The end is nigh.
Yes. Okay, so as to whether Dracula is linked to Transylvania or not, so he's linked to it, and he was born there, but the real historic Dracula, Vlad III, never owned anything in Transylvania. The Bran Castle, which is a modern-day tourist attraction in Transylvania, is often referred to as Dracula's Castle, but it was never actually the residence of the Wallachian prince. It's because The castle is in the mountains in this foggy area and it looks spooky. It's what one would expect of Dracula's castle, but he never actually lived there and he never even stepped foot there.
So they say.
So that is the story of Vlad Tepes.
Vlad
the
Tepes.
The Impaler. I want to suck your blood.
Vlad Ramas.
Vlad, literally ram ramming. This steak up your ass.
Big.
Ass.
Ass, yeah.
What did you think? What did you think of Vlad?
He's a bit of a madman.
Honestly, the story was twist and turns, Game of Thrones style.
Yeah, it was.
What's going to happen next? Larry is a good way
of
putting
it. The truth get in the way of a good story, because half of that couldn't have happened, but it does sound.
Like the numbers, but he did impale people.
Yeah. But
I'm telling you now.
That needs to come back.
Okay.
Pedophiles, nonces, they're getting impaled.
I thought you were going to be like, pedophiles, nonces, and impaling. We need to bring it back. And I was like, Chris, that's a hard stance even for you.
They're still here, mate. They're still here. They've not gone yet. But we can eradicate them with impaling.
I agree with you.
Touch a kid, you get a stake up your asshole.
Well, speaking of who just got impaled that used to touch kids.
Oh, shit.
Ian Watkins.
I'm so happy. Never am I happy about someone dying, but that actually made me smile.
We were in the airport when I got the notification through, and I said to Rachel, mum, about it. Mum was like, who's that? And I was like, oh, he's a singer that raped babies.
What fucking band he was in that.
Lost Prophets.
Wait, what was it? Lost Prophets?
Yeah. And then a woman next to me was like, yeah, it's not exactly a loss, is it? And I said, no.
No, it's a win.
Can't say I'm at all sad about him dying.
But if it came out that he got impaled on a stick,
he got impaled on a shiv.
He did.
So that's close enough. I think Vlad would be happy with that.
Yeah, I think so too. The blood spilling, the death, and the writhing in pain is well deserved. Fuck you, Ian Watkins.
Let me suck up on your little. Your arteric bleed.
Is that a little knife wound?
Let me just clear up your blood. I found to clean up your blood.
There's going to be so many people listening to this that are just going to be like, oh, that's disgusting sound. We've done it 5 times.
Oh, look, lady ovulating.
Is that the scene from Saltburn?
Oh, not again. Why did that come back up? Yeah. Saltburn. Dracula was in Saltburn.
So, no, stop. Okay, so how would you... I've just absolutely throated that mic there. How would you have done it differently?
If I was Vlad, after all the conflict, I think I would have moved off to Moldova with my big boy Stephen.
Yeah.
And opened up like a spa / like sex dungeon museum. Not museum, like resort. And it's like his impaling, but you don't die from it. It's just like a bit of a horny thing, you know. Like,
this is late stage capitalism paying to go and get impaled.
Yeah. So
you could also have one of his special little cauldrons as baths. So you just sit in there, locked in there by a bit of
what
wood.
You think is blood. It's not blood. It is.
And then you just set a fire underneath it and you slowly burn to death.
No.
Boiled to death.
But you don't quite die.
It's really like warm. It's like a theme park. You don't die. And then afterwards you can have a nice cold plunge. Yeah.
You go until you're too uncomfortable. Do you know what I mean? You're like, nah.
Titanic was missing a trick when they set up their Turkish baths. Oh, Turkish. Yep. Awesome in bath.
Get the Vlad bath in there.
Okay,
never
so
cold.
What would it be called, his spa?
Vlad's Impale Emporium. I've got to get
Vlad's Impale Emporium.
The Impale Emporium. And you can get, like they do, what is it when you sell things? What are they called when you buy
gift
something?
Gift shop.
Yeah, a little gift shop. And you get like pens that are shaped like an impaling stick.
Perfect. Okay, cool. No, I appreciate that. When would you have done it though? What time? Probably after the second one, it didn't work out. And then you'd be like, do you know what? I'm just going to try something else.
Yeah, because the third time lucky was not lucky, was it? That was quite a bad
one.
No,
it was the shortest, one of the shortest
I think
shortest
he could
months.
Have pulled some of the Ottomans into that and just let them see how he lives. And there might have been peace.
We could have sorted all of these holy wars out pretty early on if he'd have just set up a spa.
Yep.
Vlad's Impale Emporium.
Do you like that?
I do.
That was good, wasn't it?
Oh, man. Perfect. All right, are we moving on to Chris's Fact Corner?
Chris's Facts. Facts, facts, facts.
Facts.
Supposedly, he washed his hands in the blood of his victims.
Oh, so he didn't eat bread from it?
Well, that's all I got was he washed in it.
Okay. Yeah.
Delete that one. That's all I got for that one.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie to you. I stole this one from you.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. He ordered that women be... I know, we've already talked about babies getting shoved on there with their mums, haven't we?
Yeah. You didn't take it out, did you?
No, I didn't. Take that
Who's
out.
Who's the prick now?
Yeah,
I'll
take
it out now.
No, I'll leave that in. Right, next. He want. Oh, this is a good one. You like this one. Supposedly, he used to pay sick people to spread their germs to the Ottomans.
Oh, that's incredible.
Yeah.
We'd get a leper and be like, here you go, here's 10 quid. Among go breathe
Vlad's
on some people.
Diverse repertoire of battle tactics. He had a technique which was a bit like biological warfare.
It is biological
warfare.
Is
saying, yeah. He'd get the ill and he'd send them in, get them all ill, and then fight them while they're not feeling very well.
Would he not get ill as well?
Nah. Well, maybe after the battle.
He would send you.
Yeah.
You'd be sent in there and you'd just be like like Emmeline, just get hold Emmeline,
yeah, send all the
impossible
babies
style,
in.
Lower her into the tent so she could just sneeze on the pillows.
He could use his, because he could have used his impaling crane or whatever he had.
Impaling crane!
Fetch the impaling crane!
He is like Gru. He is like
I told
Gru.
You, mate. He is. Fetch me as an impaling crane.
It's fetch me as an impaling crane.
Well, that one went to shit. That was a bad fact. I really struggled with these ones. I did put the effort in. I've got a few, but they're all a bit crap. Did you speak about this as well? One of the raids he did on Ottoman camp was so confusing that his enemies started killing each other. Let me read this to you here.
Okay.
Vlad employed guerrilla tactics in order to hold off the giant Ottoman army. One night in 1462, Vlad led his army on a quick surprise attack on an Ottoman camp.
Surprise!
In the hopes of assassinating the Sultan.
That's the one
Vlad's
I told you
men
about.
Needed to sneak into the camp. Is this the one, is it?
Yeah.
And so they're dressed up in the clothes of the Ottoman people.
Oh, see, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't say about that, yeah.
Though the attack did end in retreat for Vlad, it caused enough chaos that the Ottomans began killing one another, unsure who the real enemy was.
Yeah, perfect. It's similar to how Vlad met his end then.
Yeah. Have a bit of that, Vlad. Not Vlad. You Ottoman scum.
Pricks.
And my last fact leads into my food.
Oh, yay!
Thing. So, they reckon he could have been a vegan.
Oh, okay.
They
apart from
read
the
some
of
his,
bread
read
the
some
blood.
Books. He didn't, yeah, but how do you know that's got anything non-vegan in it? Or vegetarian. He could have been vegetarian.
Yeah.
He could be making vegan bread. You don't know that. Don't be like that. Don't act like you know the man. So, because Europe had a very cold climate in the 15th century, there was very little food. And according to bioarchaeologists, it's a good word, isn't it?
New profession.
Aristocrats throughout Europe had a very meagre diet and meat was not
meager.
Often eaten.
Meager.
Dracula may have been vegetarian or vegan due to the poor diet or poor health.
Ah.
Not saying it's true.
Also, when I was saying about him being vegan, it wasn't the bread thing. It was him dipping it in the blood of his enemies, which 100% isn't vegan.
That's fair enough. Yeah, that's not. I get it now. So.
Okay. So.
That's not kosher, is it?
What's it going to be? What's the fact? Is it going to be something about like carrots or something?
How many garlic cloves can you fit in a 6-foot coffin?
Yes!
But he's too tall. He's not tall. So that's pissed me off a little bit. But how many garlic cloves do you reckon you can get in a coffin to fit a 6-foot man? Or a woman? Are you not impressed that my brain...
10,000.
Double it.
20,000.
Double it.
40,000.
Add the same again.
80,000.
No, the 20.
How was I supposed to know? 60,000.
62,400.
I'm calling bullshit on that.
That oh, you got. I thought about this. Do you know how many bits?
So it's definitely not right.
I didn't just make that up. Me and my mate Gemini came up with that. But
okay.
A coffin is quite big, isn't it? And one clove of garlic is what, that?
Yeah, yeah. Although I've got some monster bulbs from Ocado.
Well, if you've got monster bulbs, oh, Ocado. Oh. If you've got monster bulbs.
I'm middle class now. I get my food delivered from Ocado.
And your Coke Zeros. But what is it? Not even an inch, most garlic cloves. You can fit a lot of them in a coffin.
What's an inch like this?
Yeah, yeah, about half. To the audio listeners, Megan pulled out a massive cock. But I don't think that's highly inaccurate.
No, okay. I would say we should test this, but there's absolutely no chance of I'm getting hold of a 6 foot coffin, B, paying for 62 cloves.
What would 60, you rather
000 do? Cloves of garlic.
Buy the 62,000 cloves of garlic or buy a coffin?
I'd rather buy a coffin.
Yeah.
It's just so much waste.
Plan ahead. Yeah, it's plan ahead. You could sleep in it as well. You're quite small.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You'd fit in a 6 foot coffin as well.
Well, yeah, I'm 6 foot, so there you go. Where am I? I'm 5'11.
Holy. Yeah.
Slash. Slash.
Slag.
And that's me out, mate. I'm a 5'11 slag.
Back in my day, episode.
I enjoyed that a lot.
Do we want to do, before we do the shout-outs, did you want to do the riddle? Should we do the shout-outs and the riddle?
Riddle comes last. Have we had shout-outs, have we?
So, shout-out to Claire, who's been listening. And she's got a new job, and she's been going to and from work and also sitting at her desk listening. She's caught up on all of them.
Fucking, all of them. Good slog.
She
Oi,
said
Claire,
she was going...
You're a legend.
Claire is a legend. She said she was... going Megan to hell for laughing at fuck off at the Titanic episode. Let me finish a fucking sentence.
I can't help it. Titanic was so good.
Titanic was so good.
I think it's my favourite one we've ever done.
Who else?
I'm glad she's impressed.
Yeah, yeah, she really enjoyed it. Yeah, that's all the... Have we got any fan interaction?
No, mate, not this week. I did get a message yesterday saying, are you ready to release your next episode? And I said no.
Well, they'll still get it.
It's out on Wednesday, isn't it? They're good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it'll still be out.
Yeah. So, no one. It's starting to piss me off, you little freaks. What about you, mate?
Fucking write in. Just say something.
It's not hard. I might just start making emails up.
We actually could do. Well, couldn't we?
Not now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not now. We said it in something future. Next week. We've got 15. Oh, fucking hell.
We've had 15 emails.
All from Chris 1, Chris 2, Chris 3 at gmail.com.
Shout out Gmail.
Shout out the mail of the Gmail.
Yeah, so just get in touch. You're still not doing it.
Please.
But just fucking please. Talk to us, man. How are the listens doing? Bad.
They've kind of averaged out at about 16 people.
16's not bad. I thought it was about 9.
That's not bad, is it? No, it's normally about... I think it started at... The first one was like 97.
Oh, no.
And now it's just plummeted down to obviously the only people that ever listen anymore. At least they're consistent.
Yeah. Someone listened to the first one was like, it's not for me.
When this hits the top 250,000 podcasts on Spotify, we'll remember these people.
Can we just point out that 80% of the people that listened to the first episode were like, I'm not listening to anymore.
Yeah, what
this.
Is this shit?
What the fuck is this? It's gotten better, though.
100%.
I like that you've put the jingle at the end now, and you just kind of go into it at the beginning.
I thought it was always there at the end.
Oh, did you... Is it at the beginning still?
It's always... Yeah, it's at the beginning.
In the beninging.
In the beninging.
Yeah. I think, to be fair, people probably hear that and are like, I'm not listening to this.
Shall I take it out the start then? Should we just get straight into it?
Okay. I think we should just go straight into it and then
let
just
us know
have
what
it at
you
the
think.
End. No one's going to say anything.
Come on,
but
tell
I think
us.
That's a good shout.
All right.
Right.
Megan's
are you ready?
Riddle. My throat can't take it tonight.
There's a Nazi in a lab coat.
You came in so fast, I got scared.
Do you know what? I thought, I was like, I couldn't think of anything. So I was like, fuck it, first thing that comes into your head. And you're looking at it now, aren't you?
I have to, because this. I don't know what that is. I'm excited about
it. I did explain it to you
last week. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this
that's
is
gonna be Nazi so good. So good. Yes.
Oh. Well, okay. I've got to start researching for the next episode. When we do these this late in the week, it gets a bit tight, you know.
Yes, it does get tight, yeah. Like a tiger. I'm gonna have to do it this weekend or something. Anyway, yeah. Thanks very much everyone for listening. We hope you listen again. Those all 16 of you that have been stalwart supporters since the beginning. Email into us, write into us, fucking send a carrier pigeon, I don't care. Let's just open up a conversation.
Yeah, like, oi, look, there's 16 of you. At least 2 emails would be lovely.
Yes,
it's not
please.
Hard. That's not hard to
it's
ask.
It's really not difficult.
Come on, guys.
Ah, cool. All right then, guys.
We can't keep relying on calamari to talk to us, can we? We love you, calamari.
We do love
email
you, calamari.
Email us again.
Yeah, go let on. Us know if go you... On, if you. And also, people, don't forget to guess. Nobody guesses one.
No, so... Fuck
nobody bothered. Yeah, fuck
come on, Claire. Come on.
Come on, Claire. I believe in you.
Wait, she's firing out the listen, so she'll listen before we record the next one. So
yeah,
make sure
yeah,
you
yeah.
speak to her. Come on.
Yeah.
Nice one. All right. Fuck bye. The lot of you. Love you.
Bye.
Bye.